right, County Manager Osborne, you have the floor.
Okay, I think we're not on yet.
Okay, no, we're on.
Okay. Would you like to repeat that so we're on?
County Manager, you are have the floor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I'm up here myself also. Honey Coughlin with my office, she's up. We're going to talk about the capital improvement plan together. What you have in front of you is a draft for a discussion with the public and this commission on where the county is going. I think what you're going to see is most of the focus today on FY24, which are the existing projects, FY25, which will be the immediate following year, and then a little bit into FY26. Certainly happy to talk about any of the years in there all the way to FY30. I think we know from past workshops that the further out you go, a little bit more unclear it is exactly when certain things may land, especially in 2030. What we do have in here is this year, Jennifer's office, our comptroller, Linda Ritter, our consultant with the strategic plan, my office, and bringing Honey on board with this as well from Ms. Coughlin, is we're trying to get the capital improvement plan and the strategic plan and the budget all lined up together. So they're not independent of each other, even to the point of this year, department heads, including my office, knowing if you don't put it in the capital improvement plan and you come to the budget team to talk about buying something, it's not going to go into the budget. There obviously will be a little bit of flexibility in some things. So I think if there was one thing we've learned in this capital improvement plan this year, trying to do that and also trying to line up the amount of money in these projects with the anticipated revenues coming in July, that $15 million just doesn't go as far as one would think. So most of the projects you see here are pipes buried in the ground and they're pavement, and a few key projects like the community center in Lockwood and fire station types of things that really are important, but then you're out. There's just nothing left. You have to start pushing some of these things that we had in year one, two, or three into year three, four, and five, maybe six, seven, and eight, maybe beyond. So we had worked as a team in prioritizing all of these things on the most important, as well as working with Ms. Coughlin and Ms. Langer, but also Mather on federal appropriations that are coming in and trying to get those things lined up, putting this all together. And what you have in front of you represents that. I want to make one more point, and then I'm going to end, and then the two of us will be here to answer any questions. The projects are substantial enough, kind of talking about earlier in the meeting today, that the amount of resources, bandwidth we have with staffing is not enough to make these things happen. We have one Mike Northern, we have a small public works department. And so what we're going to do is look out, as we have a contract with Far West or Dowell Engineering, they handle all our contracts for infrastructure and roads and things like that. They manage the bids, they manage the RFP process, they manage the construction, and we coordinate, keep everything moving along. We're going to look at bringing to this board a contract after going out to bid to do a similar type of model for buildings and constructions and grounds and things like you have here. So we don't have to hire more staff to manage these projects. We can do it for consulting services. And then a lot of those costs will be offset by the construction projects that actually go out to bid. So that will make it possible for us to be able to handle this with the bandwidth that we have. I'm going to ask Ms. Coughlin, do you have anything you would like to add? Because you've been working on this as well.
I've made some structural changes to the format. Mike Northern actually made a really good suggestion, and that was giving each of the projects a project number. And this we're going to utilize for tracking. So currently the version that was actually uploaded for this board meeting, the formatting in and of itself is weird, and it's not printing the first column out. And that'll get changed for the next one. But that project ID column, so to backtrack a little bit, we're also breaking down the projects into road projects and then also sewer and water projects. So not only is there the FY24 projects and then the FY24 equipment and FY24 plans and studies, we have added FY24 roads and then FY24 water and sewer, and that will continue throughout the subsequent years. With the project ID, So we're going to take, just for example, the first one in FY24, the project, I just put P for project, and then FY24 and then -01. This is going to let us know what category it came out of with the P. If it were roads, it would be an R. Water would be whatever I put. And I put W for water because I put S for studies because we are have a P for plans. Anyway, I digress. So this way, if we have a project in 24 that ends up getting moved to 25, we can keep track of this. Also, in the years that are coming down, because I'm going to create projects for all of them listed through 2030, if we need to bump something up, we can see what became a priority. And this is how we're going to track how these projects are, you know, getting funded and or getting accomplished. So that's those are two of the changes I've made based on staff suggestions. And then we will have a couple more to be made when you see it for final approval. Just some of the columns are going to shift just a little bit. So structurally, it's going to look a little different, but the line items are going to be the same. So I just wanted to make note of that in case everyone's used to looking at it a certain way, that it's going to change in presentation. So that was it for.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, so Loomis and Associates had taken some of the major projects and estimated how many full-time employees that would take to accomplish from the county staff's end. So upon their estimations, they didn't end up doing all the line items, but I just went in and based on what they thought it was going to be, I filled in all the different places. Obviously, we aren't putting any in FY24 because this year is almost complete. And then I didn't add to like the equipment or things like that because it's not going to take a full-time employee. So these are just estimates in the FTE column for how many Story County staff it is going to take to undertake these projects. And then as well, if you'll notice in the department managing the project column, we have planning or IT, but I've added initials for the actual department head who is working on the project. So that way we kind of know who has been responsible for it all along and who we go to for, you know, just getting updates and things like that. So the initials are there. We kept them initials and not names to keep the columns smaller and more easily readable.
And I'd like just to add with Ms. Conflin talked about how many quote-unquote employees it would take, but Loomis and Associates determined we would translate that into contractor. A contractor, after we go out to bid, would be the ones that would fill that necessary. We would not be hiring more people for this.
Okay. Anything else? Wonderful. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No, sir. No questions or comments at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, so I definitely appreciate the improvement on formatting and kind of trackability and some of these things. On the FTE, that's on the project management side, correct? That's not people to actually do the project, but that to manage it and make sure it gets done.
That's correct.
That's what we're anticipating. Okay. I had, if it's okay with my fellow commissioners, I had a couple of specific items I'd like to just bring up to either discuss, to bat around a little bit, see if they want to either be included, moved, whatever, if that's okay.
Please.
So one of the things that consistently comes up with folks that live in Lockwood is their desire for a dog park. And that is has kind of been bumped down. The rough estimate was about $150,000. It's been bumped way down the list to after 2030 or later, so to speak. And I'm just wondering if there's a way that we can bump that up. The need that's been expressed to me is a place for their dogs to exercise, to socialize. It would really make an impact for a lot of the members of that community. They have fairly small yards overall. I did notice that in our next fiscal year, there's a drainage project around the LCC area where there's some ponding on Perry Ranch Road. that was around the same. And I'm just not sure if the constraint there is capacity, the constraint is cost, or what we're talking about as far as that. I know there's a discussion of dog parks in other communities. I haven't heard the same sort of impetus from the residents in those communities that it is as high a priority. And so wondering if it's possible for us to look at bumping up that one for Lockwood.
I have no problem with that.
Sure, Mr. Chairman, I'm getting your point. Commissioner Mitchell, it's a pretty decent cost item that we could probably integrate in there pretty well. What does happen in this is with the limited amount of money, things get prioritized and kind of worked into further years. But if you're finding that community is very important to them, I'm sure that our team can look at this and maybe move a couple other items around to be able to accommodate the difference for a couple $100,000 in this area. I don't think that is really going to do damage to the FY25 CIP. We can add those two items in there.
Very good.
For this time.
I appreciate that. Thank you. There is a more recent idea that came up about some sort of an exercise course, something similar to what is out there in Lockwood, but here in Virginia City. The conversations that I've had with the proponent of that project is she's kind of envisioning marshaling some volunteer resources to help with that, some Eagle Scout projects, some of those kind of things. But it certainly would take some guidance on our part as far as where it would be appropriate, either in the park, in Miners Park here, or around. Maybe it's a course that's spread out, maybe around the ball field or different areas. Not necessarily something that has to be right away, but I just thought I would outline that as a potential desire that's been expressed. And also kind of the vision on the character of it, that it's kind of a community getting involved type of a project, as opposed to a pay a contractor to do it type of a project, which might allow it to come out a little sooner because the cost would mostly be the acquisition of the equipment, whereas volunteerism and community support could handle a lot of the actual, the installing and those kind of things. So just thought I'd mention it. Fairly small in the grand scheme of things, but something that was that was felt that there would be some value to that, and no particular year.
We see you, Kathy. Just give it a minute.
I can hear you guys again.
Yeah, I dropped for just a minute. Sorry about that. And I'd be totally fine if it was grandfathered in. I think one of the concerns is if there's no access control on that side, when events and things happen, it just floods in through that neighborhood. And so maybe the short term is figuring out access control to the fairgrounds, and then long term, really planning that circulation with community input and buy-in, where we say, hey, 10 times a year, we're going to have people coming down your street to get people out of here in an efficient manner. Is everyone okay with that? We'll make improvements, curb gutter, blah, 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 whatever that is. And that could be down the road. Just in the short term, I don't want to leave it wide open and have pretty significant impacts to what's typically a very quiet residential neighborhood.
Kathy, you can go ahead. We've been working with Kathy.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I had a comment back about the dog park. I don't know if you want to jump back to that. But for the Lockwood Dog Park, we did look into some of this already. And so we do have some things. I just wanted to remind everybody that we can't have it in the floodplain because we aren't allowed to put up fencing. And dog parks definitely need fencing. We also found out that they need to really ideally be grass. So that means we need a water source. So we do have some limitations on where some of this will go. I'm sure we will figure something out, but I just want everybody to know, like when we're going into this, there's a lot of parameters that we're going to have to find to make it actually work. So if it had been an easy solution, we would have found it already and probably been working on it. So
That's helpful. If it was to be established as a subdivision of Louise Perry Park, does that significantly impact the usability of the rest of the grass field?
Well, it kind of depends on how much area, because if you take that apart and you fence it, I mean, we definitely did look at that, but then we also have a ball field that's on there and you need to have a certain area to have a ball, you know, to be able to play. And if we wanted to kind of break it, smaller, I mean, it might not be, if we ever got like a little league team, they might not be able to have any games there because it doesn't really meet their regulations. So there's a lot of things to try to work at. We were also looking at where the existing park ends, kind of up against the hill, if there was any place to put something back in there. We were looking kind of at the behind the, there's also an existing, park course or whatever. There was something that was behind the Rainbow Bend between that and the school and the road. We were looking in there. There's a lot of juggling and we need to have some more community involvement, but the floodplain area, I'm very hesitant to point towards that way because of all the fencing and stuff that we would need. So.
For sure.
Yeah.
We hold on, so we check to see if Lance still can hear us.
Lance, are you able to hear us?
Yes, I'm loud and clear. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. We had a dropout on the broadcast, but it seems to be back. So.
We did for a while. Yes.
One of the areas that Kathy is mentioning that is between Rainbow Bend and the school, it is not taking over where the community garden is, but it's in that location. That's where we do own property. So it's down in that middle area where the community garden currently sits. And the other issue with adding it onto the current park is the senior center is going to build out a little ways into that. It's not going to hinder the ball field at all, but we wouldn't be able to take any more from them. So the current senior center is going to take that grass apart.
Understood. Great. Yeah. And I don't necessarily want to plan the thing out right now. I just want to prioritize it if possible. Great. I had a question around, and we had some private discussion about this, but around it, coming up in 25, there's an anticipated pretty significant project that's estimated at $3.4 million and 3.5 FTE to manage to build out a new spot for the public works equipment that's out in TRI to make way for completing the proposed substation out there and some of those things. And I just was hoping to get a feeling or what had already been done on a substation. I know there was some external funding potentially for that. And then what's the continued need to finish out what else is anticipated there? Because this, in essence, is an added cost to do that substation.
I'll speak a little bit and then are we still live?
Yeah, well, as long as we got Lance, check again with Lance, if he's good.
Lance, are you still hearing us?
I can hear you fine. Whoever's speaking, I'm not hearing at this point. The mic's off or something.
It was probably Jim Hindle. He's not near a microphone. So were you able to hear Honey when she was talking here?
I was, yes.
Honey, good. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Sure. So I'll just speak to the portion of the grant funding in the area that we call the switch area, which is where the sheriff substation is currently. That is the portion that our appropriations funding is going to cover work on. And that is because that area was designed and built to house the sheriff's, whatever any sheriff needs, I should clarify. So the Public Works barn, and Austin's going to speak a little to this, and Mike Northern has been working on this with me and creating a timeline of how this is going to fall. So if Mike is still there as well, he can speak to what Public Works is doing at this moment to get their equipment out, like what those phases are, because he's been working on that pretty extensively lately. He might not still be there.
Yeah.
Mike, start talking. I won't. If he doesn't, I'd be happy to.
It looks like he's still on mute.
Okay, I'll go ahead and anybody stop me anytime they want. As we are aware, in the Sheriff's Office, if there's a representative from the SO on Zoom, feel free to chime in on this, as it is a Sheriff's Office project. The sheriff has indicated a need to build a substation, a substantial substation out of Station 75 Tri-Center. Ms. Coughlin explained kind of how the grant money that would apply in there, which is great. But for what he's planning on doing, there's some other adjustments that need to be made in the building that would potentially displace Public Works out of the building. And Public Works, I think everybody understands that a Tri-Center needs a place to stage equipment, salt and tires and things like that that they have out there. And of course, Director Wiz Berkey is here in the audience. He can come and explain at any time. So we have put on a priority project to get a barn out there for Public Works. That way we could vacate the necessary space the sheriff has asked for to build the substation.
Great. Do we have a specific location identified for that Public Works barn?
I'm just going to speak briefly, unless, because I know you guys have been working really at a granular level, but it's going to be on the Station 75 property, likely to the north. But there's power lines, there's easements, there's all kinds of things that need to be accounted for and where the building is going to be situated and shaped.
Okay. Because and the reason I bring it up is because this, I mean, when I take this in conjunction with this represents to me at least a pretty substantial shift in scope, size and cost for the substation project. And the way I understood it, which I could have totally misunderstood it, but was that mostly the services that were needed in the space that were needed would be able to be.
Can you hear us now, sir?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, sorry about that. We're having some technical issues. Nope. It's being all sorts of wonky.
I'm doing good. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, all good. Not your fault.
So that being said, this is one of the times of year where I will get together with Public Works and then also Dow Engineering and get our projects, our priority water projects lined up for the upcoming year. There is a priority water project board meeting on January 24th that I will be attending. And I do know that our current projects will be discussed, but also our lead siphon project is moving forward to principal forgiveness funding. And that is just phase one of that. So in thinking about that, even we will need to get the other phases put on here as well, because initially we just had the lead siphon project as an entire project to be done. And that's actually going to be broken down. So I will get together with Public Works and then with Dow and make sure that the line items are feasible and what year they should be in. And then also wouldn't mind sending me the information you're talking about so that I can, you know, have a little more information when I speak with Dow.
Very good. Thank you. I noticed that in 2028, this is getting out there a little ways, but a $4 million 6-mile bridge upgrade or replacement to make it bigger, wider, better, whatever. And I'm just wondering what the thinking is there, the benefit, if there's a need for access and safety, or if we're just trying to increase capacity, or if it's a potential flooding issue, what have you.
Jason Worsbicky, for the record, the reason why we're looking at these bridge replacements are because they are train cars. They're not actual bridges, and they're, I would say, not rapidly, but steadily deteriorating. And once they get past a certain point, we're not allowed to, you know, really go into depth on repairs on these. So these and then Lockwood really need to be seriously looked at for replacement to an actual bridge.
Very good. Thank you.
Because they are limited weight-wise as well.
Yeah. Well, it's not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
To what Director Worsbicky talked about, and Kathy's still on from planning, she's indicated that the replacement of those culverts and things that were in the Lockwood area might substantially improve the work that she's doing on the flooding down in the Lockwood community. I'm not speaking for Ms. Canfield, but she's shared that.
Very good. Very good. I had a question also in 2028. There's a notion of a jail justice court project or jail justice complex. And I'm just trying to understand if that's an outgrowth are we anticipating we're growing out of the divide court facility, a replacement for, in addition to, or is it primarily a jail with maybe some extra stuff added?
Sure. So there's maybe two parts to it. One is the jail complex justice. Probably another item, I made a note here to bring the sheriff's office back to this board to talk about that, because that is definitely a sheriff's office request. There's an item in here for a first district courthouse. We have been told by the first district court that we need to put that on our CIP and start planning for that to occur up here. As right now, jury trials for certain criminal cases are having to occur in Carson City, not allowing them to occur here.
And I can speak a little bit to the jail because Laura Mather and I were working with the sheriff when we had hoped to get appropriations funding for the current Virginia City Jail. This facility is woefully inadequate and has a lot of pretty desperate needs. And so the focus at the time for that was on that jail. And then because of what County Manager Osborne said, we were going to include the justice First District Justice Court, is that right? First District Court in that, and just have an entire complex that could meet a variety of needs, as you know, especially with the jail and transporting inmates and things like that.
Gotcha. So the idea is potentially to put First District Court in the same area as the jail, as well as an EOC, because it's called out for that as well.
So discussions may have changed, but yes, it was, the entire thing was going to, and I haven't spoken with Emergency Manager Adam Wilson regarding this, but at the time when we were talking about this project, it was going to include an EOC as well as a proper dog kennel animal facility, animal hold.
Perfect. Thank you. So then there's not really a notion of moving our justice court. That's not necessarily what we're talking about here, or is that also in the mix?
So the whole justice situation is in the mix. So from the point of arrest all the way to the where they stay around for a little while is in the mix. So I see Laura's coming up. I'm happy to hand the torch over. But yes, I mean, kind of the idea that's been discussed with the sheriff's office as well as emergency management is to have one complex. It would have a court and it would have a jail, and it would have the intake center, and then also potentially put the dispatch center attached to it, and then put an EOC, an emergency operations center, which we really do not have one now, attached to it. The whole kind of thing would all be a one-stop shop in that complex. Go ahead.
Laura Mather for the record. So just to add a little bit more information to give you an idea of why that was originally come up with us, we were trying to save time and money in the long run. So the idea of having, as Honey mentioned, the current jail is woefully in need of replacement. But the idea of having the courts there as well is that best practices for law enforcement is to have it in one facility so that when you're moving inmates, you're moving them within a building and you're not putting them into a car, transporting them to another location, and then taking them out of the vehicle and into the court system. So it was kind of our way of thinking, okay, if we're going to do this project, how do we do it efficiently? How do we do it right the first time? So that's why that came about. Not necessarily that our justice court is going to be, out of its space soon, but we wanted to create a project that was done right from the beginning.
Gotcha.
And Commissioner, I think it's important to note here too, while this is very preliminary, part of the, if these things were to happen and the grants and the federal appropriations, help pay for these things, another thing should be consideration is the facilities that some of these are located in right now could be sold back into private hands in our community, like the sheriff's office and the DA office, for example. Thank you.
Okay. Great. It seems like there's a lot of moving pieces here because we've got justice court, we've got EOC, we've got dispatch center, we've got jail, and potentially district court. And I know there's been previous discussion of a complex in that space, potential drainage issues. I think there's a lot to discuss here, and I'm not necessarily seeing those dots connected through the plan. They feel like independent projects and are not called out together. And so maybe a way to kind of align those together. To some extent, we see similar things on some of the VCTC projects, which are a little bit shotgunned. And maybe if they can do some work to get those buttoned up with their new board and all that and kind of aligned for us so we have a clear vision of how it's all going to roll out, I think that would be helpful. So it's not helter-skelter, but it's really kind of progression from one to the next.
Well, in response to that, Commissioner, I couldn't agree more. When you look at 24, 25, 26, pretty buttoned up. When you get into 27, 28, 29, there's still, as been explained by the folks up here, a lot of planning to do, and there would be a lot of consolidation and maybe deconsolidation that happen on certain items.
Very good. Thank you. Those are the main things I got. Thank you.
All right. Any public comment? Any other discussion? Is this motion time? All right. Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, and I maybe just ask staff if there's something specific that they'd like as far as the motion goes, or if we should just reference the conversation that we had, or what do you think?
I'm happy to guide you through this. So there's a motion prepared on there. It's purposefully has a big blank. So really, I did take notes on all your comments as well as they'll be in the minutes. We'd be happy to.
Actually, I have a tough time.
Commissioner Gilman, can you hear us?
Loud and clear.
Okay, you want to redo that motion?
What was that, Lance?
Oh, I say, let's just hurry up and get her done. We're running out of air.
I hear you. I'm on board.
I second that motion.
Yeah. So I'll restate that motion. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct staff to incorporate the items discussed today in the present fiscal year 25 and 5-year Story County Capital Improvement Plan, and for the plan to be brought back to this board for consideration at a future meeting.
I second that motion.
There's a motion to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 26, this discussion for possible action. Go ahead and read this, Austin. Do you have it up?
Yep.
I have a mouthful of Tic Tacs.
Okay. So this one, I'm not going to read your motion. So a discussion possible action of the board's position responding to the Nevada Governor's Office of Economic Development Code requesting from Story County a letter of acknowledgement regarding an application to GOED for sales and use tax abatement, modified business tax abatement, and personal and real property tax abatement, recycling tax abatements for their operations. The operations is Aqua Metals planned at Story County. The tax abatements are subject to GOED approval per NRS 360 as a quote-unquote standard partial abatement and for expansion and recycling. I'll be happy to explain this when you're ready, Chair.
I'm ready.
All right. So this is a standard abatement. We see these pretty often on the agendas. The GOED per NRS is asking us to acknowledge that this is occurring. It's not really an approval of Story County, and it's a partial tax abatement like applied to most of the companies that come into the county that bring in whatever number of employees and amount of capital investment that is specified in the matrix of employees and investment that GOED has put together. This company is reportedly going to bring 50 employees to the state. The average wages are about $63.73 an hour. There's about $17 million in capital improvements being made with this company, $373.5 million of impact overall. And there's reportedly about $4.6 million in new revenues. As far as abatements go, about $512,000 of sales tax and $663,000 of personal property, and about $978 million, or just about $1 million. $978,000 in real property, the actual building and the ground, and roughly about $2.1 million total. This is a headquarters company that they're located to Story County, and those are the numbers that are being reported by GOED, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I have no questions.
I don't either. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, care to entertain a motion?
Absolutely. Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff to submit a letter to GOED acknowledging an application to GOED for sales and use tax abatement, modified business tax abatement, and personal and real property tax abatement for recycling tax abatement for their operations planned in Story County. Tax abatements are subject to GOED approval per NRS 360 as a standard partial abatement for expansion and recycling.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 27, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of business license second readings A through N. Any questions from my fellow commissioners?
Sure.
Any public comment? Vice Chairman, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses under item 27 listed as A through N.
Second.
So motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Item number 28, this is the second and final time for public comment during this meeting. Is there any public comment? Not seeing it brings us to the last and final item on the agenda, which is item number 29, and that is to adjourn all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 2:01. Have a great day.